Well, good morning, brothers, sisters, young people, family and friends. And we welcome you here around the table of our Lord. Whether you're here with us in person or joining us online, we're glad that you could be here with us this morning. Serving you with me today, we have our brother James Bargibos, who will lead us to the emblems with his words of exhortation. So our brother James has chosen for his exhortation this morning a theme of our best is sufficient. And so as an introduction to that, he's requested that we take a reading from the first 18 verses of Matthew chapter 6. So now I invite our brother James to lead us to the emblems with his words of exhortation, reminding us of Christ and encouraging us all for the week ahead around this theme of our best is sufficient.
Thanks, Sebastian. Good morning, dear brothers and sisters, boys and girls. If everyone has a mobile phone, could you please bring it out and go onto your notes page? We're going to be doing a survey. If you've got a computer, you can use that. So everyone, phones out, please. That's it. If you don't have a mobile phone and a notes page, then pen and paper will be fine. So this is a 10-question survey, which we'll be doing this morning. What I'm hoping to do is to take us through three sections of Scripture. The first we've read this morning, which deals with three topics: alms, the giving of alms, prayer and fasting. Then we'll have a look at a very familiar section of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11. And finally, we'll look at some questions which stem from our reading of last week. Thanks, Dan. James chapter 1. Now, most of us know how to complete a survey. You'll choose your own score, 1 being low, 10 being high. Okay. Now remember, husbands, this isn't about your wives, this isn't about your husbands, children, it's certainly not about your parents. It's your own score. Judge's decision is final. So, question 1 from Matthew chapter 6. Giving donations, okay, charitable works. That's what alms is, A-L-M-S. If we regularly contribute to the ecclesial collection or other tasks. So, question is, how do we rate ourselves in terms of giving alms? Write down your score. Now, I don't see too many things being written down, so a memory is okay if you haven't got access to any of those tools. So if we regularly contribute to ecclesial collections, give yourself a 9. So if we've donated to a charity or assisted someone with a gift or we've helped someone in need, then well done, you will score a 10. Question 2, prayer. How do we rate our prayer life? 1 for low, 10 for high. Have we prayed today? Well, we have. Do we pray for our food regularly? Well, I'm assuming we do. If that's the case, then please give yourself a 9. Now, if we have prayed just once during the week for any reason, for any length of time, congratulations, give yourselves a score of 10. Fasting. Now, some of us might be in the middle of Feb fast. Okay, that's where you don't drink alcohol, you know, you give your liver a reset. You can generally tell those people because they're angry, they've got headaches and they've got the shakes. Okay, fasting. This morning's a fast. There are many other things, many other pursuits we could be doing today, right now. We could be engaged in a sport, our own leisure activities, a hobby. We could even be doing work, but no, today we are here. So prioritising the breaking of bread, which is a fast, for that, give yourself a score of 9. However, if whilst I've encouraged you to use your phone and you have been distracted by your phone, take off a mark. You shouldn't be distracted by your phones during the meeting, except if you're using your phone as a Bible. Now, if we have fasted for any other purpose, then give yourselves a 10. So how are we doing so far? Now, virtually all of us would be in the 90% high distinction category. And that confirms that Hyde Park members are generous of spirit, praying often, and fasting regularly. So this is a 10-question survey, so now for the next group. Reading. How do we score as regular Bible readers? So let's look back at the previous week. And every time we can recall reading a chapter or a series of verses, give yourselves a point. So while you're thinking about that, we read a chapter this morning, so it's quite familiar. So we should give ourselves 1 point for this morning, okay? However, do not give yourself a point if you didn't focus on every single word. Now, we read this chapter particularly because it's familiar. We've read this chapter often. Were we able to concentrate on that very small handful of verses, 18 verses? So I'm asking us to really do a self-assessment here that's honest and to give ourselves a score. All right, next question. Question 5, hospitality. How do we score in regards to hospitality? 1 for low, 10 for high. Now, Paul tells the Romans that we ought to be eager to show hospitality, Romans 12, verse 3. And it's important to think about this morning that without hospitality, Jesus could not have completed his mission. It would have been a very difficult task if Jesus didn't enjoy what hospitality had to offer. And in fact, it's an extremely important biblical command. So, if we had an ecclesial lunch, for example, that'd be an easy mark because we're preparing for that. We might have cleaned the dishes or we might have been involved in some way in service. Now, we haven't had an ecclesial lunch yet, so we don't get the easy mark. However, the Bible class committee did a great job on Wednesday night with tea, so that's one mark for all of those that participated. So we need to look a bit further back. So let's think about from January 1... So we're going to have to think fairly carefully here. How many times have we demonstrated hospitality? Now, hospitality is more than just feeding people. How many times have we invited someone home for a meal or a cup of tea or maybe just a catch-up? So hospitality is giving of our time, isn't it? Hospitality also includes things like opening the door for someone, helping to carry something. Hospitality is also about protection. So how many times have we noticed someone that's sad or unwell and given them a hug or a kind word or a smile or a text? So if you've done any of those activities, give yourselves one mark. Now, for our next series of questions, I would like to go to 1 Corinthians 11. Now, we know this section really well because we read it often. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that this morning's meeting of remembrance has three primary functions. Forgiveness is not one of them, but it's important. Praising God is not one of them, but it's important. The three primary functions of this morning's remembrance, which of course in Paul's time was an evening of remembrance, is to remember, to proclaim, and to examine. So, how do we rate ourselves in remembering? On a scale of 1 to 10. Think about this first. So aside from the meeting, so we already automatically score 1 point, how many times in the last week have we remembered Jesus? So Jeff reminded us this morning that we ought to remember Jesus every day. So again, just to be generous, let's reflect back onto the very beginning of the year where some of us would reset goals and some of us would have made a commitment to hospitality, to reading, to prayer, to acts of service, to remembrance, that we would remember Jesus more often. So aside from the meeting, how many times have we done that? So two other elements. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So what is proclaiming? Well, it doesn't sound like it's a whisper, does it? Like, to proclaim almost sounds like you climb up a ladder, you get on top of your roof, and you shout, you project your voice, you proclaim. How do we rate our proclaiming? Now, let's not confuse proclaiming with gospel activities. So we haven't done too many gospel activities, but presenting a gospel activity isn't proclaiming, but it's important. Attending a gospel activity isn't proclaiming, but it's also critically important. "Go ye into all the world and preach," said Jesus. So then, let's give ourselves 1 point for every person, obviously who isn't a Christian, that we have happily shared our belief that Jesus is alive, that he gives us hope, that he will be the Prince and the King of Peace. So, 1 point for sharing the good news of the Kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Or perhaps we might have invited someone to a meeting or to a gospel activity of some description. So, how are we going there? We might not have scored so well in this area. I mean, if I exclude gospel activities and just turning up. Okay then, if we haven't scored well since January 1, I'm now going to ask you to really think hard and go back 10 years. 10 years. How many times have we proclaimed Jesus' name and our belief in him in the last 10 years? Has that impacted on the score? Our final question in this series is about examining ourselves. Self-examination, self-assessment, self-awareness is a command that we sometimes equate with forgiveness, but it's a different thing, really. It's the process of self-review, of being prepared to look really deeply and ask ourselves honest questions. So what I'm obviously doing this morning is I'm trying to help encourage our self-examination by asking these questions and then trying to give ourselves a rating. Self-examination is a constant and dynamic process. And some of us are really good at it. Some of us have got the capacity to constantly monitor. Others... not so good. Okay, so self-examination isn't an activity that is prescribed to do weekly, just here, is it? It's an activity which should be done throughout the day. Self-examination throughout the day is world best practice. So, this self-assessment question is about self-assessment. On a scale of 1 to 10, how many times during the week do I self-examine? If the answer is once at the breaking of bread meeting, then this warrants a score of 1. But again, let's not confuse the breaking of bread meeting with the process of self-examining. Just being here is critically important. We are responding to what Jesus asked us to do. But to be fully engaged in the process, self-examination is a critical part of this morning's reflection. Now, when I was asking myself these questions, I was starting off like a house on fire. Yeah, I was getting 10s. In fact, for prayer, I was probably getting 15 out of 10. I was quite satisfied with that. And that was also a problem, wasn't it? Because if I'm praying to tick a box and to give myself a score, well, that's what Jesus warned the Pharisees against. I would suspect that many of us pray far more often than once a week. But if we were thinking, do you know, James, I really should have given myself a score of 15 out of 10 because I pray far more often than that. That's really not the way to look at this topic. Okay, so let's conclude by having a look at James chapter 1. We'll look it up just to remind ourselves. We just want to focus on the verses 19 through to 27. So my early scores were good, but as I asked myself these series of questions, I noticed that my scores were dropping. So that meant that I've got to do some improvement in those latter questions. Can we just please start at verse 22? So in the NET, this section is headed Living Out the Message. Verse 22. Do what God's teaching says. When you only listen and do nothing, you are fooling yourselves. So having asked the question, how are our scores gone? And we've revisited some of these scores perhaps. I've warned that we need to take care that we don't fall into Pharisee territory. James is asking us to do stuff. And there's a vast array of activities that we can do. And we all do some better than others. My topic for encouragement this morning was, our best is sufficient. It is purposeless to try to obtain perfection on these topics now. In reality, it's just really hard to do all of that all of the time. And if we are striving for this perfection now, that is the critical element. So we sung this morning about striving to follow Jesus perfectly. So I think sometimes we look at that verse and we go, yeah, this perfection, and we concentrate on the perfection bit. But Jesus really is just asking us to try our best to strive. Verse 25, so James continues, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have learned, but thoughtfully doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So, yes, there's this idea of aiming for a goal to do our best and to continue in it. Not to stop. James is encouraging us to never give up, but to keep on going. So if we think about that person in Matthew 25, Lord, when were you hungry? When were you thirsty? I don't remember clothing you. I don't remember going to visit you in prison. The activities of those individuals that responded like that, it wasn't a ticker box survey-based exercise, was it? It was the way that they chose to live their life. And those activities were done subconsciously. It was just something that they did. Now, what a Pharisee would do in looking at that list of things, you know, giving someone food or drink or visiting them in jail, would be this. Well, I can't score myself if that question was a survey because I don't know anyone in jail. So I'll just give myself a non-graded pass for that. But it isn't the action that Jesus is interested in. It's not the specific, well, are we giving someone food or are we giving someone something to drink, the actual activity is not the correct emphasis. Jesus is asking us to engage in small acts of service that are less about cost and more about just noticing someone is in need and then giving them something a bit special. In the last couple of months, I've had to participate in a number of funerals, and I know a widower very well, and I now know a widow very well. A common story which we're aware of in our family is the feeling of isolation and loneliness when a husband loses his wife or a wife loses their husband. Prisons are dehumanising, they are isolating, they are lonely places void of caring touch. Being lonely feels like we're in a prison. That's why a warm hug on a Sunday morning might just make someone's day. See, Jesus is talking about special attention. He's not talking about going to Rikers and visiting someone that's in jail. So, reading, remembering, praying and preaching ought to be just second nature. They're activities which we are continually developing in, we're continuing to improve with, and most critically, as I've said, they're lifestyle choices. Of course, fasting or feeding others aren't items on a score sheet. They are just things people who love Jesus simply do. And these are activities, actually, that we all do. Okay, now, listen, this bit's important. We ought not to be down on ourselves because we didn't achieve a high distinction in our survey. The parameters were, I was adjusting them, wasn't I? I was trying to sort of emphasise some of these things by encouraging you to give yourself a certain score. But these questions are designed to help us think about the topics and the activities that are important. As we sung, strive we now to follow Jesus. It's the striving bit which is the take-home message for the week. It's the trying to help, trying to be kind, trying to reflect, trying to smile, trying to be hospitable, trying to find just the right time to talk about the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not score ourselves harshly or be down on ourselves because maybe we're a bit below average in our minds on some of those outcomes. Because Jesus doesn't think we're below average. Jesus simply says, continue in it. And we might be really critical self-markers, but Jesus is the most generous marker. Jesus is actually looking to bump up our score. So I'm not a fan of sort of, you know, this namby-pamby, every child wins a prize participation awards at athletic events, you know. You win first place, you get the blue ribbon, right? I'm a believer in that. But continue in it. Continue running. Continue striving. That's the message of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Stay in the race. And I think if Jesus is prepared to look at us kindly, we ought to be prepared to look at ourselves kindly too. Verse 26 and 27 of James 1. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air, and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: caring for orphans or widows who need help, who are distressed, and keeping yourselves free from the world's evil influence. Now, the survey's actually stopped, obviously, because we only got up to question 8. But if we did have survey question 9, it would be this. How would we score looking after orphans or seeing to those who have lost their husbands or wives to the grave, to the world, or whose spouses may never have accepted Jesus' saving grace? With the emblems of Jesus' body and his blood in mind, let's think about question 10. How would we have marked ourselves in the past week in being unspotted from the world, remaining resilient to the world's influence? Real religion has a primary focus. It's outward looking and directional, and that direction is forward. Why? Because that was Jesus' focus. His focus was always on others. Let's consider the road to the cross. In a few hours, Jesus managed to convert Simon the Cyrenian and his family. He managed to convert at least the centurion, if not a large number of soldiers. Being nailed to the cross, he seeks forgiveness for everyone who's an onlooker. He converts the thief and finds a way to have his mother, a widow, cared for, protected, and provided for. Let Jesus be our example here. Let's commit to developing into thoughtful doers. Doing our best for Jesus is all that he asked for. So remember the parable of the talents. It doesn't give us a reason, if we've got a talent in the meeting, to bury it. No, we've got to use that talent. Don't bury God's gifts, but instead, consider the following actions: striving, reaching, serving, persevering, persisting. Of course, our actions can never be enough, but almost everyone can and everyone should be able to do something for someone in need. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 is a really critical verse for us to remember this week, where Paul says, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. If we have a weakness in any one of those items that we've been surveying today, that's okay. Ask for God to help, and he will. Don't be down on the things we haven't done. Matthew 25 reminds us that Jesus sees things that we've done that we miss ourselves. The fridge note for the week is this: our best effort is sufficient. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 to 9, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. Lord, I didn't know that smile meant so much. I wasn't aware of how much that little bit extra in the collection assisted. I used to talk to Uncle, I used to hug Auntie because I loved them. I didn't realise that simply listening to a colleague at work and offering a kind ear was something that was important to you. I didn't realise that every Sunday morning when I drove to the meeting and I waved goodbye to my neighbours, that was a form of preaching. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for noticing. I always tried to be happy. I always tried to be content. I always tried to listen carefully. I did my best not to be distracted when I was talking to other people. Oh, that was preaching too? I didn't know that. God's grace is sufficient. Not our achievements, not our identities, not our reputation, not even our score. God is the source of our sufficiency. The judge's score is final, and his words are simple. He says, now I'm going to my own notes page, and that's why I'm taking a little while. He says, all of these activities which we might have missed, but were about caring for others, were what's important to him. As a consequence, he will say to us, well done. You've kept the faith. You did your best. I did the rest. What an amazing prayer it is for God's hand to always hold us safe and for Jesus to be with us when life is really, really difficult, when we're struggling, because he might just send someone on a Sunday morning that smiles to us or gives us a hug.